Hello, and welcome to Destined to Disciple with Lakeisha Elder. First, I want to say thank you for joining, and I want to launch the first episode of this podcast by making sure we understand discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? And to be a disciple means to be a follower or a student of a teacher, a leader, or ministry coach. In a Christian context, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus Christ and strives to live according to his teachings. So being a disciple involves not only learning from Jesus, but also emulating his life and spreading his message to others. It's about a transformational relationship that influences every aspect of your life and requiring commitment and discipline and a desire to grow spiritually. Biblical foundations to discipleship, this is like a concept of discipleship, is deeply rooted in the Bible with numerous examples and teachings that highlight its significance. And we're going to go through a few, and I'm not going to try to run through, you know, everything. We're going to take our time because I really want to make sure that you understand what being a disciple is. Jesus called his disciples, okay? He called his, and just like he called his disciples, he called us. So the gospel provides several accounts of Jesus calling individuals to follow him, such as Peter, Andrew, James, and John. We can find this in Matthew 4:18-20, where he specifically first called these four disciples. His invitation was simple yet profound. He specifically said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, that word "make," I'm always a believer of just small words. You know, sometimes we look at big words, but just something. He didn't say that I will show you how to fish for men. He said, I will make you fishers of men. And that it, fishers of men, that word "make" also means produce. So what Jesus was telling them is that I am going to produce something in you, or I am going to bring forth something in you. I am going to fulfill and ordain something in you that will cause men, women, and children to follow. Jesus referred to men as fish. He said, I will make you. And then he said, fishers of men. Now, fish have the ability to navigate depths of water and are linked to the unconscious mind and spiritual wisdom. So for a moment, let's go a little deeper and look at the unconscious mind, because this part of the mind contains thoughts, feelings, and memories outside of conscious awareness. It is believed to influence behavior and thought processes, even though we are not consciously aware of these influences. This is what we have to bring under self-control. It's like if I ask you to pray for like President Obama or President Trump, like former President Obama or currently President Trump. Now, I'm sure by me mentioning these names, something rose up in you that may have sparked anger or love or hate. This is the unconscious mind. Jesus never told the fish to do anything. He only spoke to the disciples, but unconsciously, the fish obeyed the will of the Lord. As fish, we should seek to obey the will of the Lord unconsciously and consciously. It should be a no-brainer that his will, and when we hear the voice of the Lord, we will automatically act in obedience. That's what that is. That's when our unconscious mind overrides our conscious. Listen, I'm hearing the will of the Lord. Okay, I'm automatically going to act. So the Great Commission, one of the most significant biblical foundations for discipleship is found in the Great Commission. We can find that in Matthew 28:19, where he says, Jesus instructs his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, of all nations. He didn't say go to North America. He didn't say go to Africa. He said make disciples of all nations. Now we can dive deeper into that, because we all know that Joseph was a nation, right? When God called him to be Israel. But that's a whole nother segment. But he said, go make disciples of all nations. This command emphasizes the importance of teaching others and spreading the gospel. The cost of discipleship where Jesus often spoke about the cost of following him, highlighting that true discipleship requires sacrifice and commitment. Now, when we look in Luke 14:26-33, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And I'm reading this from the King James Version. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest, happily after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desire of conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So this passage emphasizes the idea that discipleship is not merely about learning, but also about living out one's faith, even in the face of challenges. And Lord knows we are living in challenges in these last days. So this is what disciples, this is the cost of discipleship. Even when we talk about Paul's letter, the Apostle Paul's letter to early Christian communities often address the principles of discipleship. For example, when we look in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So this is where Paul encourages Timothy to pass on what he has learned to others, thereby creating a chain of discipleship. Okay, so now that you're looking at what it means, this is the biblical foundations of discipleship, okay? And so now we're going to go into the role of discipleship, and this is in reference to personal growth. Discipleship plays a crucial role in personal spiritual growth, offering believers, you and me, a path to deepen their faith and their understanding. And when we're looking at spiritual growth through discipleship, we can learn to apply the biblical teachings to our lives, fostering spiritual maturity. And this process involves regular study of scripture. We're definitely going to be going into regular study of scripture and prayer and a commitment to living out Christian principles. Living out Christian principles requires a commitment to practicing love, compassion, forgiveness, and humility, which are foundational to Christianity. Now, when we're looking at love and compassion, at the heart of Christian teachings is the commandment to love one another. This is what Jesus, I want you to love one another as God loves you, God loves us and has Jesus love. This love goes beyond mere affection, and it is characterized by selflessness and compassion. So when we're looking at love, you know, we all know about love your neighbor. Jesus emphasized the importance of loving others as yourself. This means treating others with kindness, respect, and understanding. And love can actually be shown in acts of service. When we engage in acts of kindness and service to those in need, reflecting the selfless love of Christ. And then we look at forgiveness, right? Because forgiveness is another role of discipleship in our personal spiritual growth. And when we look at forgiveness, forgiveness is a central tenet of Christianity as it mirrors God's forgiveness of human sins. Now, we all know when Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? He said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what we do." Now, I don't know if you like me. I didn't deserve it. I couldn't do anything to purchase it, but Jesus told God, "Forgive them." He was talking about all of us, past, present, and future. Forgive them. Letting go of grudges, holding on to anger and resentment can be harmful, but forgiveness allows for healing and it allows for reconciliation. And we look at when we're seeking forgiveness, right? When we're looking at how do I forgive? Well, when others are wronging us, it is important to seek forgiveness and to make amends so that we can live in peace and restoration. That's the most important thing, because when we can live in peace and restoration, then that shows further spiritual maturity and growth and development. And then when we look at humility and being humble, humility involves recognizing our limitations and valuing others equally. So when we talked about serving others, like acts of service, when we talked about love, Jesus taught that greatness comes from serving others, not from being served. Embrace opportunities to serve, putting others' needs before your own. Acknowledge dependency, right? We have to acknowledge our dependency on God. Humility involves recognizing that all good things come from God and being thankful for his blessings. So when we look at humility and humbleness, we can serve others. We can acknowledge that we have no other choice but to depend on God and to acknowledge who he is. And then another role for Christianity and for discipleship and for personal growth is integrity. And when we look at integrity, we have to live with integrity. It means like being honest. We have to have honesty and ethical in all of our dealings. We have to be truthful. We have to speak the truth in all situations, even when it is difficult. We have to speak in truthfulness, and we have to ensure that our actions align with our beliefs, maintaining consistency in the public and in our private lives. And so when we look at faith and how we trust in God, trusting in God is fundamental to Christian living. It means relying on him for guidance and for strength. So I talked earlier about having a prayer life, maintaining a regular prayer life, communicating with God and seeking his guidance. We have to do that at all times. We'll talk about prayer as we go along, because prayer is so important to spiritual growth, spiritual development, our walk with Christ, even being a disciple. Because when you're a disciple, at any given time, someone can say, "Hey, you know what? I need you to pray with me." And we have to be willing and ready and able to pray. And all that is just talking to God. We have to have faith in trials during difficult times. Maintain faith that God has a plan and will provide the strength to overcome challenges. And when we look at community, right? Let's look at community and fellowship. Christians are encouraged to live in community with others, supporting and encouraging one another. As Christians, as believers, as congregants, as a community of those of the same faith, even if we're those of different faith, we have to support and encourage one another. We have to participate in church activities and worship. We have to foster a sense of belonging and mutual support. We have to do that. That is on us. And then when we have to have a support networks, right? So we have to build relationships with fellow believers who can provide encouragement and accountability. If you want to grow in Christ, if you want to grow as a disciple, if you want to grow in spiritual development, you're going to need accountability, but you're also going to need encouragement. So it's important to have a supportive network. By incorporating these principles into daily life, we can live in a manner that reflects the teachings of Christ and positively impacts the world around us. We can impact so many people when they see these things in operation through us. Through us. Now, when we talk about accountability and community, right? Being part, and we're going to go into, we're going to go deeper into the accountability and community for next week, but I want to talk to you about it briefly, about what that means, because when we have accountability and community, that means being part of a discipleship community, and it provides accountability and it provides support, and fellow believers can encourage one another and share insights and help each other grow in faith. And this is what transformation is. Discipleship is a transformative journey as we grow in our relationship with Jesus. Our experience changes in character, priority, and actions, aligning more closely with Christ's example. We don't want to align with anything other than what Christ has laid out. This is what our Bible, it is a blueprint of what Christ has laid out. That's how we transform. And that's how, as discipleship, we transform into our journey. Okay. And then when we look at mission and purpose, and we'll talk about that in future sessions as well, episodes, discipleship empowers us to discover, it empowers all believers to discover and fulfill their God-given purpose by learning to serve others and share the gospel. Disciples find meaning and direction in their spiritual journey. I want you to find meaning and direction in your spiritual journey. This is the path that we're on. So in summary, discipleship is a foundational element of the Christian faith. It's grounded in biblical teachings and crucial for personal spiritual development. It involves learning. It involves living and sharing the teachings of Jesus Christ as we foster growth and transformation in every believer's life, in our lives. We are the believers. We are the carriers of the Great Commission. So I hope you have found this to be helpful in your journey to be disciples. And I ask that you join us next week as Destined to Disciple goes further into understanding what discipleship is. And so before our, I don't want to leave you without making sure that you have some actions with this. And so when we look at understanding discipleship, our objectives here today was to define what it means and to explore the biblical foundations of discipleship, and then to discuss the roles. And we've talked about what those roles are. So if you listen to this, and if you're in a group discussion, I want you to just kind of think about and meditate on what does discipleship mean to you. And then I want you to examine the key scriptures on discipleship. We talked about Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and I want you to look through Luke 9 and 23. And then also too, as a personal reflection, write a short essay on your current understanding of being a disciple. We'll see you next week. And thank you for listening to Destined to Disciple with Lakeisha Elder. God bless.